Hey, Dylan Kelly here, host of the Wave Break podcast. Excited to get into this episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor. If you're looking to grow your business, there's only one way, and that is by building real quality customer relationships. Most marketing software will claim they do this, but they never deliver on their promises, and you need to demand more from your marketing software. And that's where Klaviyo comes in. Klaviyo helps you build meaningful customer relationships by listening and understanding cues from your customers, allowing you to easily turn that information into valuable marketing messages. And that's why 10,000 innovative brands, including all of our clients at Wavebreak, have switched to Klaviyo. Now, what's the secret to building those customer relationships? Tune in to Klaviyo's Beyond Black Friday docuseries to find out and unlock exact marketing strategies you can use to keep momentum going all year round. Just head over to klaviyo.com/beyondbf for more. Link is going to be down in the show notes below. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Wave Break podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, founder of Wave Break. And if you're new here, I help Shopify stores stop leaking revenue. And if one of our clients didn't hire us last year, they would have missed out on over $1 million in revenue. And that is what you could be leaving on the table as well. So don't wait around. If you want to learn more about working with me and how exactly I help you stop leaking insane amounts of revenue, head over to wavebreak.co to learn more. And now every week on the show, myself, Dylan Kelly, I interview the people behind the top Shopify stores and services and softwares, and I get them to share their e-commerce secrets. And if you're enjoying the podcast, subscribe on iTunes to make sure that you never miss an episode. And today on the show, we've got another great one for you. We're going deep, in-depth on e-commerce retargeting, and we're diving deep into the art and science of e-commerce retargeting. And today I'm joined by Serge Salinger, CEO of a company called Retargetlings, and he is sharing all of his insider retargeting tips and tricks, as well as the secret sauce they use inside their own company to make sure that people do not get spammed with too many retargeting ads in too little of a time frame. So without further ado, I'm super pumped to get into this episode. It's a really cool technology that we're going to be talking about, and just talking about it from an angle that has really, like, I've never talked about it before. So we go deep into the history of retargeting and exactly how it works, why it works, and the results you can expect and the best way to go about it. Tons and tons of value in this episode. So hope you enjoy it. Without further ado, let's hop right into it. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Serge.
Hi, Dylan. Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah, so I'm super duper pumped today to talk about retargeting and some high level ways to implement that inside of e-commerce businesses. But before we get into that and before we get into the details, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, so my name is Serge Salinger. I'm a startup entrepreneur since about 4 years when I started Retargetlings and Visual Pink here in Vancouver. Before that, I was a CEO of a 40-people tech company in legal tech, also in Vancouver. Prior to that, I was in a VC for 5 years, and most of my prior career was at Procter & Gamble in marketing.
Nice. And so now your focus is on Retargetlings. And so, like, can you explain a little bit about what you guys do there?
Yes, we do. We apply retargeting in a link. So retargeting is used normally on a website, especially when you're in e-commerce. We give you the ability, we give our clients the ability to do retargeting on a link. And we'll be able to explain more of that later if you want to.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, like, the high level overview there of the software is, like, basically any link you can take and just turn it into a link that you can then collect data on and then retarget the people who click the link, even if you're not sending those people to your website. You could be sending them to a random article and so on. And like you said, like, yeah, I can't wait to get into that and talk a little bit more about that later and how merchants can use that technology. But first things first, let's just start with a high-level overview for the people who might not know exactly. Like, what is retargeting?
Yes, retargeting, I mean, as the name says, you're retargeting somebody you are in touch with already. And most people have experienced that. And we're talking here, by the way, about advertising. So we're talking about banner ads, either on Google Display Networks, which is commonly known. They own 60% market share. When you're going to Forbes or Wall Street Journal or Cosmopolitan, you'll see those banner ads. This is what I'm talking about, those banner ads in those websites. Retargeting also, obviously, it's done in Facebook too. You heard about Cambridge Analytica. That's exactly what retargeting is able to do, is showing a banner ad to a person that came to your website. And I think everybody has experienced this. In my case, I discovered retargeting about 10 years ago. I was actually in my home computer shopping for an engagement ring for my future wife. And I was at Tiffany's, and unfortunately, I was not aware of retargeting back then. And what started to happen is Tiffany started to show me banner ads about engagement rings, and my wife actually started to also be retargeted, but she was using the same computer, She got some clues about what was going on. She didn't tell me anything, obviously after the fact. But she was pretty happy, but it spoiled the surprise. So that's a fun example. But everybody have seen the internet following them. That's how people experience it the first time, and then they realize obviously they went to that website, and that website is actually following the person.
Yeah, totally. I have, my stories aren't that good, but like, for example, like just today I was Googling something and and then what do you know, the boots I've been looking at for the last couple of weeks, there they are. Wow, that's darn, now I have to buy them. But man, that's a crazy story, and that's really unfortunate. Did you end up buying the ring from Tiffany's though?
No, I ended up buying it from another shop. No,
so it didn't even work.
Oh, all but right. It works. It definitely works.
It definitely works. I know for a fact, like one of my most successful clients, they grew from like nothing to over 8 figures in revenue in like an insanely fast amount of time. And they follow you everywhere. And that's a huge part of your success. And so like, how exactly does this technology work? So like, how do they know to follow you around? And like, let's pretend I'm five. How would you explain this?
Yeah, first of all, it's kind of technical in a way that there are cookies involved. Before actually explaining you how it's five, let me explain you how the technically how it works. When you land on a website, a cookie is actually inserted in your browser. So you and by the way, cookies were invented much before they were used for advertising purposes. The main reason for cookies to exist is that it recognizes a user when you go into a specific website. So it will recognize your passwords. It will recognize if you have a session open, you don't have to enter the password again. It just tells you this is again Dylan, for instance, who are coming back to your shop. So cookies are very useful to store what user preferences are for a particular website. Or their passwords or the session open, etc. So very, very useful. Back in, I would say 12 years ago, a company called DoubleClick invented something called Boomerang for e-commerce. And they had this great idea of using cookies for other purposes. So what happens is once you have your cookie in your browser as a user, that cookie is going to be recognized by the next websites you go to if they are part of an ad network. So if you're a publisher, like, again, the Wall Street Journal, Forbes, Fortune, Entrepreneur Magazine, etc., you are probably a publication. You have a lot of traffic. A way to monetize that is by actually giving Google the ad spaces for Google to monetize. Back then, before retargeting existed or programmatic existed, what happened is that you were the Wall Street Journal, for instance, you were actually selling that ad space in bulk. So Wall Street Journal will actually sell this to advertisers that are in the financial business, most likely. And they would actually sell that for $2 per thousand impressions to, again, all those people who read the Wall Street Journal. If you're doing Cosmopolitan, most likely because your target group were women 25 to 35, You were doing something with cosmetics. So, and this was carpet bombing. So not really the most relevant advertising, because if you happen to land in Cosmopolitan and you were not a girl or not interested in cosmetics, but interested in something else, you would see ads which were not relevant to you. So what happened is Cosmopolitan started to actually sell those spaces to the highest bidder. And they did that with via the cookies. So when you land in Cosmopolitan, they will recognize that cookie, say, oh, that's a cookie from Dylan's website, and I'm going to show Dylan's ads because Dylan is paying me a little bit more than carpet bombing advertising to display that ad. It might be, so this sounds super simple. There's complexity behind it because you actually are carrying around about 50 retargeting cookies with you at any given time. So there is a bidding process on the back end that you don't realize, and that's how sometimes it's a bit slow, where essentially Cosmopolitan and Wall Street Journal are asking the ad networks who's willing to pay more for these 50 cookies. And they're the top five cookies which will increase their bids until the one that wins display the ads. All that happens in milliseconds. Still, you have a small delay in the result, but again, that's how you get the right ad in front of you. You asked me how to explain that as if you were five or your grandmother. There's a good analogy that people love, especially in e-commerce, is that let's go back to 20 years ago when there was no e-commerce existence. So you are actually owning a grocery shop, and in the grocery shop, when you have a grocery shop, you'll see people actually coming into your store. They will browse around and they will actually leave the store without buying anything. Sometimes they will not even say hello sometimes, but you'll have a lot of traffic, and only a fraction of those will actually convert and will actually go to the cashier and buy you some something. But again, most of them will actually go browse around and leave. Now let's suppose that you are having somebody at the door who, as people leave, are going to tag on the back or in the front, whatever, a small tag that is going to be recognizable by people in the store, people in the street. That tag, once again, you guessed it, is the cookie. So when people that have carry your tag in the streets, let's suppose that person goes to a bus stop. And that bus stop, as you know, they have ads on the bus stop. Now let's suppose that the bus stop will actually see the tag behind people and say, oh my goodness, this person went to Dylan's store, and he says, okay, let me check if I'm doing business with Dylan, and if they are doing business with you, they will display your banner ads because they recognize that person went to Dylan's store because it has a tag on the back. And that can be for bus stops, it can be for sandwich men, you know, those who have the ads on the back, or can be anybody who has the ability to show a banner ad. Now, the important thing here is that those ads are outside the store. What would happen to the person that went to the store? They will actually see those ads and say, oh my goodness, this is interesting. I've been there to Dylan's store. And it's funny, it reminds me to go back to complete my purchase. So that's exactly how it works on physical, and it works the same on the internet. It's all about cookies and browsers and ads and you actually coming back to the store to complete your purchase or to actually do that.
Right, and it's super crazy how like this has really evolved over time. And before we kind of move on with this, I want to kind of jump back to the whole like the whole Tiffany's thing and like the whole didn't work thing. Like, it's not that, like, obviously that was one specific case, but I just want to touch on, like, what are some, like, results that people are getting from retargeting? Like, what's possible with retargeting? Like, now that we kind of know what it is, like, what kind of results are people getting from this?
No, sure. So first of all, you have to understand the human psychology. Nobody kisses at first date. Maybe that's an exception for you, Dylan, but that's the case for a lot of people. when they are actually considering a purchase, they are going to compare different options. So in my case, it was Tiffany's and maybe another couple of other providers for rings. But there's a lot of competition these days, and people are knowledgeable, and they are going to try to find out what is the best deal. and what is the best brand, what people are talking about it. So there's going to be a little bit of research happening at the beginning. So you would expect that people actually going to your store would actually navigate out and try different alternatives. And once a person is out, just like in a physical store, there's no way to bring that person back. So ads are important to keep your store, to keep your brand top of mind. As a person is browsing the net, finding alternatives or looking for alternatives or finding more information, or even actually completely forgetting about it. There's a lot of cases where people are genuinely interested in something. They're going to think about it. They're going to procrastinate. They're going to wait to the end of the month until they have a paycheck. But they're going to definitely forget about it. So the first of all, it works really well site retargeting or retargeting in general with human psychology. It actually is going to help you complete the purchase. And talking about completing the purchase, the most valuable retargeting happens when you actually have a cart abandonment situation, when you have somebody that has left some goodies in the cart and it hasn't completed the purchase because they are hesitating to the last minute. Amazon and a lot of e-commerce sites will actually pay a fortune to show banner ads to the person just to remind him, hey, you have to come back to complete your purchase, put your credit card and make you save some money. So in terms of data, there is super interesting data. There's a research. There's an article called 15 Mind-Blowing Facts About Retargeting, which was published by CMO Magazine. If you Google 15 Mind-Blowing Facts About Retargeting, you will find it. You will see here the three data points, which are pretty interesting. One which says that it lifts trademark search behavior by 1,000%. This means that when you're doing retargeting and people see the ads, they're going to Google about your brand. Sometimes people do not necessarily click on the ads themselves, but they are going to do some searches about your brand or your options. Again, just to read more about it after seeing the ad. And once they read about it, obviously they're going to end up back into your e-commerce site or buy or purchase your item. There's also on what I have seen is that traffic coming from ads, retargeted ads, will have 60% higher conversion rates, meaning that you have traffic the first time and you have traffic the second time. That traffic the second time is qualified leads in some way, and these have higher conversion rates because the person was exposed to an ad and is coming back to for a reason, and that reason is they're going to kiss, they're going to actually complete the purchase. There's also another metric called click-through rates, and it's the number of times an ad gets clicked. So we're talking about ads which are carpet bombing, like my daughter is seeing an ad for car insurance, and obviously she doesn't have a car, she's 12 years old. What you'll see is that she will not click on the ads, unless obviously the ads are relevant to her. So if it was a toy, definitely she would click on the ads. So that the click-through rate is something that measures performance of advertising. In the case of retargeting, normal click-through rate, it sounds super small, is 0.05%. So only 0.05% of the people seeing an ad, or the time, sorry, you're going to see an ad, you're going to click on it. With retargeting, it can go up to 0.50%. It sounds small, but if you think about the person sees about 10 ads before clicking on it, that comes to 5% of your targets actually clicking on the ad. That's a lot. 5% of those who are showing an ad actually going to click on the ad, that's a lot. It's a lot also, especially considering that a lot of people do not click on the ads, but actually going to do something about it. So sometimes it can be up to the double. So that can go up to 10% of those who are targeting actually either clicking an ad or going to your website to try to complete the purchase. What we've seen in retarget links, it's about 25% conversion of that traffic. The math goes along like 10% of those who you're targeting are going to go to your website one way or the other. And then out of those 10%, 25% will actually convert. So there is a quarter of those 10 that will actually end up buying something. So around 2% of those who you target. So when you are running a retargeting campaign or a link retargeting campaign, you should expect about 2% of those who you're targeting to convert. And that can be mean. I mean, and normally retargeting is relatively cheap as a medium. you're paying about $8 per 1,000 impressions. So sometimes the ROI, it's there. And the ROI in our case, for example, is around, just to show you a last metric, the ROI for retargeting campaigns are around, it can vary between 50% to 500% of the money you spend. So for in the 500% case, that means that for every dollar you actually spend on retargeting on ads, you get $5 back in return in profit.
Which is incredible. And even more crazy when you think about like 98% of the people who visit your website don't buy. So just the conversion increase alone makes this super, super valuable. Now I have a question for you. So you kind of had a little story about this with the Tiffany's thing, but like seeing these ads follow people around everywhere, like we know it works on the back end, right? Like we know it turns into higher conversions and you get these insane return on investments and ad spends and it's great. But like, does this make people mad?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, the people, I wouldn't say mad, but definitely people notice it, which is kind of what you're trying to do when you're advertising. And there's a fine line, obviously, between making people mad and making people aware. There's a study made by Roy Digital in 2015. So it's a bit aged, but I haven't seen any recent survey. What the data says after they ask people who have been experiencing retargeting, they saw that 60% do notice ads following them. So that's kind of how they describe it. 60% of the those who were targeted. Out of the 60%, 60% are neutral. So they don't have any either a positive or a negative sentiment. And then the balance is between 10% of those are negative. So they are really concerned about the internet following them or reading their minds. And 30% are have a rather a positive attitude and say, "Oh, thank you for reminding me this," or "Yeah, that's a relevant ad. I'm going to click on it and buy my my product." 30% sounds high to me on the positive side, but that was a survey which was obviously done for the ad networks. But I do believe on the rest of the data that there is a high percentage of people that notice the ads and people will actually be neutral. I mean, they're seeing an ad where they expect to see an ad. Like if you go to Cosmopolitan, you do expect seeing ads around. That's how the business model of the publisher works. And same for Facebook. You are expecting nowadays to see a Facebook page. So if it's targeted to your needs or targeted to your what you have visited before, people are expecting that this to happen.
Totally. I mean, it makes sense, right? Like not everybody's going to be happy, but it's the same with email. Like on the email marketing side of things, what I've noticed is like, do people get more frustrated when you email them more? Well, it's like when you do a survey, people say, yeah, I hate email. Oh my goodness, email's the worst. And then you double the amount of emails you send and your unsubscribe rate stays the same and your revenue goes up. So ultimately, like any e-commerce strategy I talk about on this podcast with a guest or on my own, like ultimately comes down to one thing, testing. Because you'll never know what really works unless you test it. And that's how you get these insane ROIs and these awesome results and increase in conversion rate because you test and test and test until it keeps getting better. So speaking of that, like what are some guidelines we can use to get started on the best foot? Like how do you create a solid retargeting strategy and like what are the key levers that you can pull there?
Yes. Yeah, so the key levers are, first of all, you have to set up your retargeting campaign. The best way to do that is you actually need to find a provider. There are actually three providers currently today. One of them, it's Criteo, and this is more for really big e-commerce companies. And then you have Google
Marketing.
So
like what size companies should use that software? Like when you say really big, like 10 million or more, 20 million or more, 5 million or more?
Yeah, it will be 20 million or more. I mean, really big e-commerce sites. They specialize in e-commerce, but they will actually require like a minimum spending of, let's say, $10,000 a month or something like this. Then you have Google retargeting.
On their platform, not on retargeting ads?
Oh, on ads. That's how much you
spend. Got it.
Yeah, correct. And the beauty of Criteo is that they're actually going to be dynamic. So if you are going to a website you're shopping for boots, red boots, they will be able to actually show you an ad with those same red boots. That obviously requires a deep integration with your e-commerce site, and that has a setup cost. It's very efficient because you only see like you see Redwoods in Amazon. That's kind of the ads you should expect to see. A normal retargeting would actually do one ad for your entire shop or your entire hotel or your entire. You won't be able to show you a dynamic ad, which it's let's say the room in the hotel you actually were hesitating about. That's more complicated to do. So that's the difference. For the audience that is listening today, I would strongly advise to consider either Google remarketing or AdRoll. It's made for small businesses. The ads are going to be about your store, not going to be about the particular item the person actually saw, but that will be sufficient to make it effective. So in terms of those variables, the main variable is, I mean, you're spent. So how much money are you going to spend on the campaign? And that depends obviously on your traffic. So if you have a lot of traffic to your website, you'll be able to spend a lot. But let's suppose you have like 10 visitors a day. Those 10 visitors will see, I mean, those 10 visitors, once again, some of them will be having ad blockers. Some of them will actually clear the cookies. So you should expect about out of those 10 visitors, about six maybe to be targetable. Out of those six, they will see 10 banner ads, but there are frequency caps, which are automatic, which are settings that are done by the retargeting provider on their backend. We also have ad retarget links, our own secret sauce. So in our case, we have frequency caps, meaning that we're not going to inundate the target with banner ads, meaning if you show a full page of your banner ads, that's a bit too hysterical. And usually if you see one page in Cosmopolitan and all the ad space on that page are about you, that people will have a negative sentiment and will actually act against you. Same thing, if you actually see like 50 banner ads of the same advertiser in one day, that's clearly not effective and will have diminishing returns. So a typical retargeting provider, as in our case, will have frequency caps, meaning that in our case, our secret recipe is not more than two ads a minute, then no more than five ads an hour, then no more than nine ads a day, and then we have 15 ads total over the lifetime of the campaign.
That way you don't make people mad.
Absolutely, and we actually make sure that you get the best bang for your money, because people normally start clicking on ads or start actually doing something about it after the seventh ad they see. Once they get to 12 ads, they are not going to do anything, and we don't want you to spend money. So
interesting. And now you talked a little bit about retarget links. I wanted to hop into that too. So retargeting sounds great with AdRoll and these other platforms, but like, what are some limits of this basic retargeting?
Yeah. So first retargeting is that if it's off-site retargeting, this is a prospective tool. So if you don't have traffic to your website, there are no cookies or dropped, there are no ads and no sales. So you have to invest obviously in Google AdWords or Facebook ads and do some carpet bombing to bring people to your site. You also need to create content to drive people to your site investing in email marketing campaign. But email also has the same issue. You have to have an email, a database of emails to send your email email to. So that's the first limitation. It's again, you have to bring people to your website to be able to target them. The second one, it's complex. You need a script of code. If you are a big company, you need to ask permission to the boss, and sometimes that permission takes 2 weeks to add some scripts. You also have limitations if you're running your store in Amazon, Etsy, eBay, Kickstarter, etc., because it would not allow you to insert a piece of script of code in the in those sites, or it's going to be very difficult to do. So our technology, Retarget Links, addresses these, addresses those problems when you don't have traffic and you need to actually search for traffic outside. So we allow you to actually also use retargeting on email. 50% of those sharing our links are going to use those links in email, and they're going to use links to third-party sites. So the way it works, we actually do the same thing as site retargeting on a link. As a matter of fact, you don't even need a website. You can actually advertise your birthday party to your friends by sending them a link to any third-party site, any article you have found, And then those who click will actually see your banner ads. It's very easy to use. You just create a short link to any content you want, to any destination, and those clicking, and then you upload your banner ads to our system. Those clicking on the link that you have sent them, either on email, text messages, or social media, those who click on those links will actually be able to be targeted by your campaign. So that's essentially what we allow you to do, is we allow you to use the magic and the power of retargeting outside your website.
Yeah, that's pretty sick. So like, what's so like that means basically, like, let's say you run a store that sells, I don't know, the best cat toys in the world. So you sell the best cat toys in the world, and you come across an article in, like, I don't know, Time Magazine or something, whatever. And you come across an article about cats, and it's an amazing article. You're passionate about it. You're passionate about cats. Obviously, you're on this cat store. You could take that cat article, push it to your audience. And typically, if someone clicks that link, they're not going to get cookied because they're going to hit the Time website. They're not going to hit your actual website. But the link actually archives that data, stores the cookie for you, and then you retarget them based on the link you already clicked, which is super duper cool.
That's absolutely correct. That's a really good use case. What is interesting here is that only those who are interested in cats will actually click that link. So let's suppose that link that you have shared in social media or an email becomes viral and people are sharing it. Only those who are interested about cats will click on it. And then that means that you are creating your audience of people that are interested in cats. So then obviously you can actually target those people who have clicked on the links with your ads, which are cat related, which makes it obviously the advertising super targeted to the users. So you have typically a really high ROI for your campaign. You have more qualified traffic and more conversions.
Beautiful. I love it. So you dropped some really awesome knowledge bombs when it comes to retargeting. You've gotten super in depth every single step of the way. And now that we know a little bit more about your platform and retargeting in general, as we wrap up here, like, what if there's one thing that you want to leave the listeners with, like, what is that one thing?
I think the advertising is becoming very competitive. E-commerce is becoming very competitive, and advertising, either via email, retargeting, it's going to become a key differentiator between those companies who actually and winning the marketplace and those who don't. So my advice, it's advertising, again, any shape, form, or advertising, it's going to be critical in the future. And it's always a very good investment if you do it smartly. So you need to obviously learn about everything that happens in advertising. Keep obviously listening to DLN's podcasts and do some research because it's going to make a big difference to your bottom line.
Beautiful. I love it. Especially keep listening to my podcast. no, but that was awesome. Really fun talking with you, Serge, and really great to learn more about retargeting and what you're doing at Retarget Links. This is a super interesting concept that I'm just super pumped about. And as we wrap up here, where can we go to learn more about you and your company?
So you can Google link retargeting and you'll see us, and you'll also see our competitors. There are different platforms which are available for you. And I think that's the main way to learn more about the space. There's a lot of articles also about the link retargeting and its uses. There are some people also who are doing this for there were some articles about actually targeting your wife or targeting your friends to brainwash them to do something so they will actually get targeted with your ads. If you want your friends to not forget your birthday party and things like this, or if you want your
That's
wife
hilarious.
To do something, there were some kind of services offered with link retargeting. It's awesome space and it's growing. So again, highly encourage everybody to actually look into it.
Super cool. And I'm going to be linking up everything we've talked about down in the show notes below. So if any articles mentioned, any of the software platforms mentioned, they're all going to be linked up down in the show notes below. Definitely go check out Retarget Links if that's something you're interested in. And thank you so much for coming on the show, Serge. Really appreciate you coming on and dropping all this value.
Thank you so much for the invitation, Dylan. Pleasure talking to you.
Now, listener, before I sign off, stop me if this sounds familiar. Your email marketing is stuck. You feel like you could be doing email better, you're not generating enough email revenue, and you feel like you're leaving money on the table. But you don't have the time to figure email out yourself or do it on your own because you have a business to run. Imagine this. Imagine not having to worry about leaving money on the table with your email marketing. Imagine not having to figure out what to send, when to send it, how many emails should look, what automation you need, what segments you need, how often you should be contacting your email list, or just worrying about sending the next email. You don't have to worry about any of that. Imagine having peace of mind knowing that your email marketing is generating sales in good hands. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. That's it. We don't do anything else. And we've created a system called the Wavebreak Method that, number one, makes you less dependent on Facebook or other marketing channels. So let's say something bad happens. Facebook says, see you later, Shopify store, and they just completely kill your ad traffic overnight. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress because you're good to go because you have a cushion of email revenue. You don't have to worry about how or what your wife is going to do or if you're going to be able to make rent or if you're going to be able to pay people because you have this cushion of email revenue to rely on. Number two, the second thing this does is huge. And it's how stores scale from 7 figures to 8 figures to 9 figures. And the secret is repeat purchases. The Wavebreak method gets rid of one-time buyers and increases repeat orders. Number three, it keeps your email list engaged. You don't have to worry about Black Friday and beyond. We'll figure out the ideal amount of times that your list needs to be contacted to maximize revenue, and then we'll execute it for you. If you want to learn more about this system and how we can work together to apply it to your business, go to wavebreak.co to schedule a call with me. And I'll personally send you my calendar link and we can chat one-on-one. Now, I don't have unlimited time to do these calls. I can only do a couple of them per week. So if you want to get your call, go sign up at wavebreak.co for it as soon as possible and we can talk about how we can work together. Thanks for listening to this episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes to get notified of new episodes as soon as they drop.